I don't believe you should have brought your little girl before she is. I only said that because this was going on, you see. Look, everyone's coming up, and I have to get away from you. It's important that we have a walking in the room. Don't go for something like that. That's not that much money. You know that.
I didn't expect to see that.
I can believe it.
That's neat to be able to see that, to see kids jumping in and growing.
I took a lot of influence out of Bill, when I was out of job, I said something. Seventh grade's where it's at.
Oh, right. Where's around, they think it's me. They just go by that.
So you guys have factory to write that?
No, we have customers.
The big area.
Yep.
Okay, thank you.
Hi, Bill.
Hi, guys. Now, so she gave me a call and said, missed the first meeting, maybe you want to take over one of these days for it.
What's friends for, right? What's friends for?
Hi, Lord, it's Lisa.
Congratulations.
She's got an exact summer line though. She's doing this thing, his name, that thing, the journalist.
That's what she told me, she said, you're not gonna be there, so, okay.
Okay.
I'll go.
She's excited about both.
Where's the band here? Have they said?
Have they ever said?
Meeting's tonight. The meeting's tonight.
Tonight, okay.
So,
Yeah, she said she may recall himself, and then I'm confused. I'm recording.
Yeah, I was gonna clarify, we should probably get into the votes here, visitor or not, or voting.
Yeah, no.
You want to vote?
Yeah. Okay, let's go ahead and call the redevelopment commission meeting to order. Looks like we have a quorum. And we have Bill Bush here representing the school corporation.
Yes.
Good, Dallas is.
Just a sub.
Sub, you're a sub.
Don't read.
Not on the first, not on the varsity yet. Okay, good, good.
So Lisa's not here to take minutes?
Yeah, but Vicki is here, or we are recorded, so we are being recorded. Let's go ahead and stand up and do the Pledge of Allegiance. And the flag is to my back here.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay. Let's go ahead and, those of you who have seen the minutes for the last meeting, if there's any discussion on the minutes or any changes.
I make a motion to accept the minutes as written.
Second.
Okay, any discussion, further discussion? If not, we'll have a motion and a second to approve the minutes. All in favor, please certify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Okay, motion carried for the minutes. Thank you, Vicki.
I hit you for that.
Yeah, Angie. Okay, we have a couple of guests in our audience. Mr. Rundle Ernstberger, is that right?
Yes.
Okay, good. About our Gateway project?
Yes, sir.
Okay, welcome.
Thank you. Some handouts for everyone. My name is Carl Kincaid, and I'm with Rundle Ernstberger Associates. I'm one of the owners. I'll let you guys pass those around. I believe I have one for the recorder as well.
Thank you.
We were asked by the city to come in and do an evaluation of the Gateway project. We are Rundle Ernstberger Associates, a land architects, planning, civil engineering firm. We originally started in Muncie and we're based out of Indianapolis and also have an office in Louisville, Kentucky. So just a little bit about us. We were asked to come in as a third-party observer, review the gateways, put together our observations and some potential recommendations for the gateway structures themselves. So we've done some research. The engineering firm has created a what we call a punch list and has provided that to the contractor to do some replacements, just so that everybody is aware of that. So this document was prepared in January of this year. We looked at the gateway structures. We also looked at the landscape material, plant material as well. And basically these are our findings, our observations, or recommendations. If you'd like, we can go through those line by item by line item, or if you'd like to read through those yourself.
Okay. I'm sorry, Mayor, did the city request this, or has this been requested?
Yes, I requested this.
Okay. Okay, yeah, let's see what the recommendations are. And,
okay. Well, we went out and took a look, as I mentioned, about the gateway structures as well as the plant material. The gateway structures, we consider those the three signs of State Road 27 and State Road 32. First observation was that the polished letters that are on the signs are very reflective, and they're reflecting the adjacent buildings. And just from a quick pass-by, not a bend to this community, it was difficult to read them and understand exactly what they were saying. So one of our recommendations was to potentially powder coat those in a contrasting color. Everything out there seems to be in that gray or monotone grays color. Having a contrasting color may help with that. And you can see on Exhibit A, we called that out and pointed that out. They're actually reflecting the buildings across the street, and so they're a little more difficult to see than if they were powder coated in a single color, contrasting color to the concrete paint behind. That may help. So that was one observation. The other was that the gateway structures have a dark gray paint painted behind the signs on the on and off ramps, but the logo sign doesn't have that same dark gray or dark blue paint color behind it, and it's actually called out in the construction documents to be painted that color. So again, just an observation. It was supposed to be painted. It currently is not. It's something that we feel like the contractor probably is contractually obligated to do for you.
You're talking about the background, basically, too, like
yes.
On the Winchester?
On Exhibit A, you see that behind Winchester is that dark blue, dark gray. On Exhibit B, that same backdrop is called out to be painted as well.
Mm-hmm.
Behind Winchester and the logo. And found it in that particular area. We also made some observations about Sims Center Drive with the landscape and sightline concerns that we were hearing, and we've made some recommendations potentially there as well. I think the heart of what we were asked to take a look at, though, is on the second page, which is the landscape material, what we call landscape material. We observed that there's no irrigation system. It also appears that some of the plant material is suffering from possibly a mineral deficiency. Some of it's turning yellow, especially some of the evergreens. That's typically indicative of the soil, some type of soil issue, and uptake of nutrients. Landscape maintenance, obviously, we've heard that quite a bit just being involved here for the last 3 weeks. That's been a conversation that we've had quite a bit already. Doesn't appear that all the plant material was installed per the planting plan. And again, we weren't privy to all of the documents and all of the conversations, but We raised questions on if that plant material was eliminated during construction. Is there documentation that shows that? And did you pay for it or did you not pay for it? And where's the documentation to show for that? Would be a question I would be raising and asking. Let's see. The plan calls for small sizes of plant material, and typically, as I mentioned, you know, we're driving by these gateways at a fairly high rate of speed, typically higher rate of speed than a lot of people want us to be. And therefore, the size of material really should be, in our opinion, as large as you can get it. Rather than planting very small trees, plant a tree of 2.5 to 3 inch caliper instead of a 1 inch caliper tree. That will help give a greater impact. Same with shrubs. It gives you a greater surface area that you're actually covering and therefore reduce your overall maintenance requirements. You paid a little bit more for the plant size in the beginning, but the return on investment is greater in the end. So it's just an observation, something that we put into the document. The plant bed edge restraint hasn't been installed per plan. It's very, I use the term haphazard, it looks like, on the gateway sign area. If you look at the actual plans that are provided in the back of this document, they're very swooping, large, singular radii curves. What's out there is very, has multiple curve radiuses. They just don't match. So our recommendation would be to install that for the plans. So those are some of the observations.
So I'm really new to this. Who maintains it? Is it our parks and street department?
Well, that's a good question. Because yes, I think, finally, I think the street department historically has been given the approval at some point. But when that point was given to maintain is unclear.
Before this project, the state maintained it, right?
Well, yeah, before the project came in, sure, the state would maintain the mowing.
Okay.
But once the project's in, the way the contract reads, as far as I know, is it's our responsibility to either do it in-house or have it contracted out.
Okay.
To maintain.
That is correct. Yes, sir.
On the banking, where they have to mow,
mm-hmm.
which is the problem, that's a big job for the city to take a weed eater or something to go up because you can't get a mower up there.
Mm-hmm.
Is there something we can do to make that where it doesn't have to be mowed?
Yeah, and that's one of the areas I was alluding to that it doesn't appear that all the plant material is in. We spoke with the engineering company that did the design and did the inspection, and apparently there was a change during construction to eliminate some of that plant material. I believe, through conversations I had with them, that it was because of potential erosion control concerns. So, but to answer your question, yes, there should, in our opinion, you could do it with some ground covers, plant material in there to establish that embankment so you don't have erosion control issues, but you don't have to get up there and mow daily or weekly.
I noticed I've checked your pounds out
mm-hmm.
over on 69, and mm-hmm. also I just went to Florida back, and they have these all through the south, mm-hmm. and all the banking is like in mulch or something, so you don't have to mow it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's problem where the city comes in, that's a big job.
Yeah, it is. The mowing is a concern from just the maintenance, needing to have somebody out there doing it. Also a safety concern. You know, it's a high traffic, high volume area. We're always concerned about the safety of the employees doing that work.
Right.
And is there a way that we can do it, beautify it, but yet keep our maintenance costs down, keep the overall cost of the city down? I think that's what we would recommend.
I mean, it's a one-time expenditure. I'm sure it'll need updated every now and then, but that's quite expensive to get a guy out there with a wheelie here and a lot of work in it, for safety.
It's safety, right. It's a steep embankment, standing on it with a weed eater is difficult.
I don't know if you're familiar with Yorktowns or not, out on 69, but it's mulched clear to all the banking so they don't have to mow it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know City of Columbus, Indiana has a similar, their interchange, they have a similar area that's mulched in a similar fashion. You can do that with a rock mulch, you could do it with a hardwood bark mulch, a number of different avenues to take there and look at that as possibilities.
Do the original plans make more sense than what the result was from the maintenance standpoint?
Joe, you want the original, you guys want the original plans?
No, I actually included the landscape plans in this document towards the end.
Oh, with money and stuff.
It was under my impression that it was read at one of the meetings before we took over, before John took over, that if we made any changes in that, that the contracting company wouldn't, the original contracting company wouldn't have any responsibility or anything.
Well, and to add to that, Dave, since it was a 80-20 with NDOT, I hope I'm wrong in this assumption, but I do have to at least go on this hunch that we would want to make sure that it doesn't go back on our original grant and somebody come back and say, well, since you changed this part of it, now you need to pay us back, and that would be NDOT for what they contributed. So that's something else that we need to really look into as well. Any kind of changes like that could have ramifications beyond what we
need to check that.
Yeah. And we had advised the mayor to look into.
Are you asking about pulling weeds and stuff?
I'm sorry, what's that?
Dave, are you talking about like pulling weeds?
No.
Because we were to be maintaining this the whole time.
To my understanding, the city, once the project was completed, it's the city's job to maintain it.
That's correct. That's the way the document reads that we were able to acquire and read.
Right, but then the question is, once we
change it,
maintain it, can we change it to make it more manageable to maintain? And that's where I question, hopefully, we don't get into a contractual conflict with the NDOT grant.
Right. Well, we've advised the mayor to have a conversation with the Greenfield District, who is the district of NDOT that represents this area, have that conversation with them and find out exactly what are those parameters in which you can work within. And then, we can establish those parameters and then work from there.
Do we have any recourse with the painting situation, like the background painting not being done?
Not being the ones doing the inspection or the design, reading through the documents, it clearly notes that should have been painted. As long as it wasn't deducted or removed during construction, somebody said, hey, we don't want to do this, and then you guys were given a credit for it. If that documentation doesn't exist, you have, in theory, paid for it.
Right.
It needs to be done per those contract documents, and that they still have that area as open contract, what NDOT considers open contract, because the replacement plants haven't went in yet. So I would go back to NDOT and say, hey, this wasn't done. Question, we're asking, why wasn't it done? The contractor needs to come in and do this, and they would be contractually obligated to do that.
Vicki, do you know, did we have an inspector, or did NDOT have an inspector?
I do not know, Cronin, I didn't. I mean, I would imagine.
That I remember this project of 4 years ago, and I brought it up to the mayor's attention that, and this is before I knew about this, that how we're going to maintain that the embankments all the way up to McDonald's. And I got a quote of $700 that can, and that's before all this stuff, putting in this, putting in that. I had two local guys to put in a bed, and I brought it up here, and I brought it on city council, and it was $700. The average was $700 at that time without all this. And then at that time, I said, you know, one of the best thing to do up on the top, and as far as we have to go over to McDonald's on that side, so if you look at the ice as you're going through there, is that we need to put some kind of rock or something up above so we don't have to trim for the safety part of it. The mayor said, nah, we're going to be doing this. And then he had quite a few meetings for people to come and look at the plans and what was being designed. He opened the, of course, during the day. When you have all these plans so people can look, he, as far as I remember, the mayor had twice an open house to see the Gateway project, and that's where people were making the comments of why do that and spend all that money when we need trucks and all this and that. It was just, you know, conversations left and forth on that. But it was the percentage of it of 80-20 that made it attractive. But then we had private funds. Vicki has the list on the Gateway project, who donated what. We have records of that and how much everything was at. But the thing that I asked the mayor toward the last, they said that this is not going to work because it just does the coloring, the lights. We had trouble with the lights, and then all the flowers and whatever was dying. So right there toward the last year, he spoke to us about the Gateway project because Lisa brought it up. And said, well, because of the time that they planted stuff, it died. So this year, 2016, they were going to replace all that. It's all in this letter that you're talking about, mm-hmm. that they were going to replace all this once spring comes. Mm-hmm. That was a good time to replant some of these. Mm-hmm. But they replaced it last year, and they died. They just, you know...
And thank you for bringing that up. And that's why we reached out to an outside engineering firm to get a second opinion. And we don't. What I don't want to happen is for us to come back here this time next year and say, well, they planted it again, but we're dealing with the same problem. We have to have a maintenance plan in place in March.
For the contract that's between the city and the state, they asked for a maintenance plan in March. There are four requirements within NDOT's contract that says the city's to maintain it. Pull weeds a minimum of four times and mow a minimum of three times during the 2016 year. That's a minimum requirement. Now you can be out there and pull weeds more often, but you need to provide a maintenance plan for 2016 that says we are going to be out there every 2 weeks, every month, every whatever calendar event that makes sense to be part of that maintenance plan.
And we didn't have permission to be on the slope, on the banks. So I talked to Sue Hall, that was in charge through NDOT, and she came down here, and I was complaining about all the fence on McDonald's side. That was all, looked like cars been running into it, and they came back and they took all the fence off, but they left the rods up. But we were trying to get permission, and I finally got it, and the mayor took over the project, and for us to have permission to maintain it. Mm-hmm. That was before anything was even put on. So we went through that situation and they gave us permission, but you know, because if we left to the state, they only mow it twice.
Right.
That's
right.
It.
And
there's no weed eating. There's no weed right. trimming or nothing. Mm-hmm. That's what you get is what you get.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And we were looking at that time, I was asking the mayor, I said, can we do a little bit more housekeeping than that? And that's why I got the estimate, because at that time the guys on the street department, they were forced to go ahead and do this, mow it, you know, to keep even up to this time now. They were kind of told this is the way we're going to do it. And I thought, man, you know, the risk factor, because I brought up about Batesville. I don't know if you guys drove over by Batesville on 74. they're doing the same thing what you just said, Dave. They took the top, took it all down, and put rocks up above there.
Yeah.
Then they put bricks, pavers, spelled out Batesville.
Oh, yeah.
Right on that whole shoulder, the whole sleeve. That was easy to do the weed eating. You don't do nothing up here by the bridge. Just do it over here, manicure it.
No problem. All we had to do was maintain the flat part.
Yes.
Where you can get a mower in there and do it, and a weed eater. But for a guy standing up there on that hill, yeah, using the weed eater.
And all you had to do for the erosion factor is just put grass killer. Because, see, the erosion factor is already there. But they also have some kind of plants and stuff that you could put there that binds the dirt together to hold the shoulder up. So it's like one or the other. But that shoulder is so important of erosion, because then you start having all these snake things when it rains. Then it looks really bad. Then you got these concaves in there. So there's all kinds. That's why Batesville took all that, put rock, then put their sign there on 74. It looks nice. It looks really nice. But here we're talking about more money, more tax dollars, not what this was supposed to have done.
Well, and, you know, that's part of doing our due diligence as well, Jim, to decide how we want to move forward. And, you know, there's options out there. There's options. And, you know, there's recommendations on, you know, and you can choose between one or all or some. You don't have to do any of them. You can continue to wrestle with this issue year after year. You know, this is something that was spoken very much of last year, and that I, upon taking office, that I said, we've got to start looking at this issue. And that's what we're doing tonight.
And that's why it's called Gateway, because this opens up us, the city, to, as people drive by, to make them stop and visit us. I mean, that's the whole key thing of it. I mean, there's several ones in Indiana, Gateway Project, but this one here started out good, but we just need to maintain it. Now that we have to have a plan in 2 months, you know, how to do that is, my recommendation is that we mow it or whatever and keep what, if we can figure out a way to do the shoulders like Dave's talking about, you know, up here.
How's the state going on?
The state's going to have to weigh in on that. The agreement also that you have with the state is any modifications that are made are going to have to go back through the Greenfield District. You're going to have to get a construction and a right-of-way permit again and have their blessing, because it is their right-of-way, their state highway. I would add to this conversation that whatever the final recommendation is and approval by the state, they're going to have to weigh in on it as well. And they may or may not like the stone or pavers, or, you know, it's going to have to be vetted with them as well. So it's a joint venture. It's not just the city saying this is what we want to do. It's definitely that, going to the state and saying this is what we would like to do, getting their approval, and then getting that accomplished. So whether it's a maintenance plan or changing something out
there. In the other cities, they've done that. I don't know if they were originally designed to be more maintenance-free than this is, but like Yorktown's goes clear to the top, down to where it's flat, you know.
Right.
And they could mow.
So the state did mow it before we
took it.
Twice a year.
But they had the capabilities of mowing it.
Oh, yeah.
They didn't mow it.
Big,
right.
Big,
right. So that's an option that I think we should consider, is figuring out how they can mow the hill and we can mow the flat.
I don't think that'll work, because I think when we signed the contract,
you took over the maintenance.
The maintenance for the whole thing, I think.
Because they have to mow north and south of it. So.
Yeah. But Misty can talk on this better than I can. I don't even think they installed a weed barrier under a lot of that stuff. I know she's been out there and checked it out. Missy, you told me that there is a weed barrier under a lot of that.
Yeah, and again...
Is there one on this list? Where are they supposed to install them?
Hang on. Yeah, there should be on that second one, like there's $30,000, almost $31,000 worth of perennial plantings supposedly. There's 19, what, how many bulbs, flower bulbs? I mean, there's an amazing amount of flowers, $60,000 worth of flowers are supposed to be there. I'm not sure that, I think they're right, we're not sure that list is what was finally agreed upon was going to be out there. So what did we pay for and what did we get? There's no weed barrier. If you dig down, there's no fabric liner, there's no weed, unless they want to tell you they put preen down. That's the only weakness. I mean, weeds were growing there within 2 months of when the project was completed.
I think it's something really needs to be taken care of because it looks like the gateway to our city. We get, I mean, it's an eyesore right now. And we get a lot of comment about it being an eyesore from the residents. You know, I think that's why people gripe about the Gateway Project is because now they've done it, now it looks so bad. You know, if it looked nice like it should, we wouldn't get the complaints.
Yeah, $27,000 worth of mulch.
Mulch?
$27,000 worth of mulch.
Couldn't be.
By the way, I took some of that mulch, took it into Mr. Gillum. Bill knows him, he's our agriculture guy. To see if it had live organisms in it, and it does. I mean, when they put the mulch down, it was, he would have described it as a poor quality of mulch that wasn't weed-free when they brought it in. Had weed seeds in it, and that's why the weeds, because he couldn't understand when he was going home one day, he just couldn't understand how you had all those weeds out there that fast.
So, this was, I assume this was inspected by somebody?
I think it had to be.
It had to be. By the state of Indiana, the state requires the city to have an inspector that would have been probably contracted through the city. It very well could have been the same engineering firm that did the design. I don't know that for a fact, but that's where I would
that's
start.
That's where the claims to.
Okay. That's where I would ask the questions to, and we'd advise the mayor.
So what I'm doing tomorrow is I'll make a phone call, and I have four questions, and I have them written down from an earlier meeting. I don't know if I actually brought them in here today, but, and that has to do with it. You know, what's the inspection report? You know, did somebody actually count these plants that came in? Did we really get what we paid for? Who inspected it? What's the original plan? And were there any change orders? And what were they? And if you did change an order, do we have a refund for that change order? So,
in all that that I remember, Sean, it was in October's maybe meeting when the mayor brought it out that they found so many this and so many of that. And he read off, he gave the information to us, and, you know, what was supposed to be planted in 2016, and all this and that. And
that would be considered the punch list.
That'd be considered, yes.
See, and that's what he told us at that particular time, that this is what they were going to work on and get that. But that my concern was up here on the shoulder, because I keep bringing Batesville.
And I understand that, but if that's not in the original plan, I mean, we're talking a major process and a lot of money to change that. I understand that. That I really wish that would have been caught before we put it in.
So at this time, it, the lady that I was talking to was Sue Hall from Greenfield.
Okay.
She's a local permit.
LPA.
Yes. And she worked with me very well. I mean, you know, I went out and I met her and we walked and she had her guys and they came and got that fence out, and this is, they were asking me, said, well, you have to ask the mayor. I'm just here to find all this stuff, you know, that should have been done the first time. But these were things that wasn't thought of when they had, when you had the public to come in and look at these plans out here. And, you know, to me, it just looks fancy, but, you know, for the money part of it. And that's when I asked Vicki to make this chart, you know, how much, you have private sector, you have, how much ours was and all the other stuff, all the entities. But I never had the contract. What were we agreeing to? Because that was done through the mayor. All that was done through. And the redevelopment board, all we had him to be is our liaison person, and he would report to us as we were asking questions.
And I'm still trying to get all the pieces put together.
Okay. So there's really no action that we should take?
Yeah, there's really no action tonight. It's just that, you know, I engaged Grundel and Ernstberger as a new set of eyes, much like I'm doing with our financial of the city. And legal. So it's just, a fresh set of eyes that was, unfortunately, I want to say it was welcome, because at least we know where we have to start again, right? And know what path, at least what choices of paths we have. I will report back to you next month about the conversation I have on those four questions that Carl has advised me to ask the original engineering firm and NDOT. And I think then we can sit and discuss our options. We have recommendations. And if you'd like, I can even ask HWC to come in next time to give their side of this is how we saw it, this is what happened. And
that might be helpful.
Yeah.
About the March deadline.
Yeah. Well, at least.
That's a maintenance.
Yeah, at the least, we'll just do what we've been doing, which is mowing and pulling weeds, right?
Right. And you'll need to submit a plan to the Greenfield District. It could be a very simple plan that says, during the month of April, we're going to do these tasks. During the month of May, June, July, or start later, you know, depending on weather permitting, this is going to be the four times that we come out and weed. These will be approximately the three times we will come out and mow. And the reason they want to know that is from their liability standpoint, hey, we have somebody in the right of way doing an activity. It's noted and we have a document saying that. It's a very simple process, and since they have that agreement with you already, they know that's going to be coming. So it can be very simple to begin with, and then it can be doctored and amended as needed.
Because it's so unsafe from on McDonald's side, Mayor. On McDonald's side, they only go like maybe 30 feet in, and they let it grow all the way up. They never, that's a state. Mm-hmm. They won't mow the rest of it on both sides, right. You know, and that's because it's so unsafe. And we've had our guys up here and trimming that part of it, and then come straight down with all these little trees that they planted in there. So,
you know, Jim, I've been in office now about 6 weeks, and one of the most interesting things that I've been able to do is have breakfast and coffee in the mornings with some of the old timers. And there's a gentleman in town that remembers when that bypass was put in, and he swears that was the worst thing that could have ever happened to Winchester. But I thought of that because here we are in the same kind of situation where we have something that was in good intentions. It really was in good intentions. The bypass 50 years ago when it was put in was in good intentions. And, you know, this gateway was in good intentions. We are the stewards of the now. And we have to look for the future about what we want to hand off to the next generation. I know that sounds cliche and corny, but we have to go forward with what we've been given and be conscious about what we leave behind. So I'll do my responsibility and get a hold of who I have to for the next meeting. But today, as a matter of fact, is when I received this report from Carl. And so I actually called HWC this morning before I got the report, saying, you know, what's going on? And I kind of got a little bit of a runaround on it. Like, oh, we're in contact with the contractor, the people who provide the plants. They're going to redo it. I really didn't know what to ask.
Right.
You
didn't have this.
Yeah.
Well, the painting situation, boy, that was going to put that sign 100%. Mm-hmm. You get a contrast on that.
And I suppose what you would do, we're not making any decision tonight, unless you want to, but if we did engage you further, can you discuss what those steps would be?
Yeah, we would provide a proposal for a scope of work to this entity of services that we could provide, which had, would have a dollar figure associated with it, obviously. And then one option that we talked about is being contractually obligated us to the city as a second party observer. If in fact they do go ahead and replant, that we're out here just back checking, making sure that yes, all that plant material really is here, yes, all that plant material is in, let's count it all, let's check it off, is it the right plant material, is it the right species, you know, those type of things, and making sure that gets installed, did the mulch get installed to the proper depth. Sometimes we see that happening where they just do a top dressing when mulch is already down, and they'll quickly top dress it. Where did it come from? You know, all those things. Mm-hmm. One of the recommendations we would make is doing a soil test. What is the existing soil out there? Because you paid for amendments in your contract. Did those amendments really get made? Are they still present? If not, is it reasonable to say that they're still not there for just biologically breaking down and they really wouldn't be there? Or can we say without a reasonable doubt that they're just not there or never there? So there's some questions that we have raised to the mayor about what is there versus what we see on the plans versus what we've observed in the field. And again, this is just an outside agency or outside entity giving you our 2 cents worth and trying to help you as a board and the mayor with the right questions that we would be asking.
And Sean, Mayor, or Carl, does NDOT also have some, I would say, bite back, but some claw that they could put on this too? I mean, I assume they're a partner with us.
They are a partner with you. And if we can find something like, say, the painting of the sign that was in the contract documents, there's no paper trace that it was said not to do it, then why didn't it get done? They would be the one that I would go back to and say, guys, this was supposed to be installed, contractor didn't do it, they need to come back and do this work. Something like that's really easy, dividing lines. Something that's a little more gray, if you will, is the mulch. Did it have weed seed in it versus, you know, did that contribute to the thing? And I'll be honest, I have seen that happen in some cases. I've seen a thistle outbreak in mulch that came in mulch that was just bad. And unfortunately, you don't know about it until all the thistles start showing up. And that, so the contractor had to come in, remove all that mulch, remove all that thistle, and then redo that. So those are things that you want to try to stay on top of, obviously.
If we continued forward with this, does it have to be a state contractor that comes in and does the landscape? I mean, we have two great landscapers here in Randolph County.
To stay within the existing contract that you have, yes, because it's a punch list, and to have them come in and replant those same plants part of that punch list, then the easy answer is yes. If you are talking about making modifications that the city or this entity is going to pay for without state funds, and the state says yes, we're okay with you doing that, then no, that doesn't have to be a state contract. We're doing that for a community right now using a local landscape contractor to do some redevelopment commission work along a state highway. It does require some permitting from NDOT. A construction and a right-of-way permit is required. It is required that the state knows what's going in and how you're going to maintain it, those type of things. But it's no different than what you're doing right now from that aspect. But I don't believe there's an avenue right now for you to bring in a separate contractor to fulfill your existing contract that you have.
Right, I understand that.
Okay. I just want to make sure I was clear on that.
Does the city currently do all their own mowing, or do we contract out mowing?
We contract out all the park mowing in the past.
Mm-hmm. Maintenance agreement.
Is it the people who have the facilities to take care of this mowing?
No, this mowing here is done by our own street department.
Yeah.
So.
But my question is, yes.
So whoever we contract out, they may have the tools to mow the hill.
Oh, absolutely. And that's what you, I mean, you put that in a spec, that you have to be able to mow that hill.
And that's how, when I did the bidding, that $700.
On a mow?
From the two bidders, that's, they have the equipment to go on the hills.
So it's $700 a pop?
Yes. That, you know, before all the signage and everything, this is all of that.
For commercial mowing like that, is that every 2 weeks kind of mowing, or is that?
Well, I had it in there as needed. That's how I put it in there, as needed. Sometimes they would come every week.
Well, my neighbors think as needed is more frequently than I do.
But you'd like to walk through the weeds, you know, but
it's probably every 2 weeks, $700. But I'm trying to get a rough estimate of cost.
I would say if you have a spring that has a lot of rain, then you're going to have that.
I would recommend that you would take this plan from the contract documents and take it back to the entities that you've already spoke to, local contractors, and say, here's what we have. Here's what potentially is going to be out there. How much would it cost to maintain this? And get updated quotes and have them break out what is the mowing cost, what is the weeding cost, what is pruning, watering, you know, the whole package to maintain this, and have them line item it for you. So then you can say, all right, we want to mow not 30 times a summer, we want to mow 3 times a summer, what the requirement is in our agreement. Or we want to mow 15 times instead of 30. That way you can kind of a la carte figure out what maintenance agreement works best for you, best for that agreement, and then move on from there.
So I think that's important, in addition to figuring out how to fix what was promised and what was delivered, mm-hmm. is how much is it going to cost moving forward. Mm-hmm. So if we're going to talk about doing rocks, well, we need to know how much money we're saving.
Right.
On the mowing part of it, Mayor, I can have the two companies come in and take a look at what we have there and how much it was, because I had 7 spaces is how I had it mowed. This is also including over here by McDonald's, at that little portion there, and then go all the way south. Mm-hmm. I can have them come over to you. I'll contact them, so, and I'll give them the map that we had before, and with their bids and stuff, I'll look it up in my history thing that I have, and I can give that to you, and I can have them talk to you about maybe giving a bid on the mowing. That's if we use it, not like what Mr. Batt's talking about, having this stuff. At least you have these plans.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And at least we'll know a direction. We'll have more pieces to the puzzle. Mm-hmm. And then, sure, once those bids come in, then we can talk about it. If it's due in March, then I'm sure we can get the maintenance plan done next meeting and get it sent. Still time, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And it's up to us anyway. We're going to mow it, either if the city does it or an outside contractor representing us, that they are insured and they accept to do this hill, you know, that's all in the quotes.
Absolutely.
And for a matter of thinking, if we'd done something with the bank, it would be a hard job for the city to mow the flat part. You know.
And that's, I think, what Joe's point is, that maybe we'll spend some money up front to get that taken care of, but it would be take away the ongoing maintenance part.
But we need to know how much the ongoing maintenance is.
And another thing, and I've talked to Gary Kahn about this, that old rusty wire fence on the east side of the overpass.
Mm-hmm. On the north side.
I think you can get the state's permission to take that down. If the property owners agree to maintain it, mow it and stuff, that old wire fence looks terrible. Nobody trims it or anything. And I know they got that taken down on the west side when they built the hotel and stuff. Mm. But the hotel, that group had to agree to keep it maintained. Mm-hmm. And that looks terrible too. I mean,
yeah, they don't always weed eat the thing, and the weeds are going through the pretty fence.
Yeah, on these, yeah.
And that's what the mayor told us at that particular time at that meeting. See, a lot of the things that's upsetting is that we trusted the contractors and all this. We were just fed this, you know, contracts and, oh, they put in the wrong plans or it. But all was done by the previous mayor, and all we did is okay this and okay that, mm-hmm. thinking that it was being done correctly. Mm-hmm. And just by the stories, we don't need to doubt anything, but when you go out there and look at it, say, man, especially the lights, for the longest time, those solar lights never worked. And we would mention it, and he'd get on it and try to, you know, get a handle on it. And I think they're toward the last. I think they're all working now. I'm not sure.
It wasn't a Christmas, I think.
It wasn't. It was that one that sits by itself on the south side. That one on the right-hand side would never come on.
Mm. Street lights out there don't work very well either.
And we've put in, it's in dock. That's safe. Mm-hmm. And with it's whenever they get around to it, basically.
Mm-hmm. So right now, at this time, we have our assignments, and then do we keep the firm for the second pair of eyes to help us out?
What's your question?
My question is, now that we have our assignments, who's going to talk to who, do we keep this firm on?
Well, they were hired. Through Augusta Consulting, which we'll talk about in the next point,
okay.
To come in and give an evaluation of an existing service, an existing thing.
Okay.
This is their evaluation. This is as far as the contract, the initial contract goes.
Correct.
If this board decides to move forward with these recommendations, then you would want to renew a contract. I would assume.
That is one potential option. We can continue to have these conversations with the mayor and then figure out the best strategy recommendation and then have those conversations. I don't know if there necessarily needs to be a decision on us tonight from my perspective, but just know that we're here to assist the mayor and this agency in the best way that we can.
So that was my question.
Yeah. Did Carl tell you that Rundell Ernstberger started in Muncie, Indiana?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, started in downtown Muncie. And the majority of our employees are Ball State grads. I'm one of three that are still Purdue grads. I said that very, very lightly. I didn't even wear my Purdue pin or anything tonight.
Yeah, so we'll talk about this later.
Yeah, some of the other gateway projects.
That we have done, personally done.
No, or, like the one at Yorktown, and you can see by looking.
Yeah, and we're familiar with those.
We're doing some very little.
Right, we're doing some park work in Yorktown, also Daleville. So we're familiar with that area as well. One of my partners lives still in Muncie and commutes back to Indianapolis, so we're very familiar with this side of the state and this area. And if we need to get up and take a picture, we certainly can do that, or we'll let you know.
Okay.
But we're familiar with a lot of the options that are out there as far as that embankment treatment.
Okay. And their expertise, you mentioned, and I only met Carl today, this afternoon. He came in about 4 o'clock, I think it
right.
was. And he mentioned that he was involved with the landscaping at Ball State when they changed and with the meridian, the median, and the bell tower.
Oh,
yeah. And so that was your firm, Chris.
That's right. We've done all the site work on Ball State's campus for about the last 35 years. Everything, including we did the original master plan in roughly 1980. It showed that bell tower there in 1980, and my the original founding partners were able to make that a reality. Obviously, decades later, and changing McKinley Avenue, the plazas, the Art and Journalism Building Plaza, and just a great deal of works that we've been very privileged to be part of. The university has been very gracious to our firm, but we feel like it's one of the largest collections of our work that we can really, in this region, say, go to Ball State. Anything you see there is pretty much our work from an exterior standpoint.
So I think the mayor has some things he wants to check on, but you have them at your disposal to assist.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so I think we're
I've only known Carl and Cynthia for about 2 hours, but I feel very comfortable with them. They came in and spoke very plainly to me, and I have to be spoken to very plainly. And they were able to do that.
No, and we'll continue to have conversations. You know, again, however we can best assist, that's what we're here for.
I don't know if I'd like to speak up or not, but I'm going to anyway. Sean certainly doesn't need me defending him, but I want to tell you that he has been left. I mean, he gave me this folder, which is nothing on this. This is what he was given on the Gateway Project. I had more that I went in and requested, and finally Vicki gave me the information that I have there. There's very little information about how to find out what was the agreement.
Right.
So he's kind of just trying to figure, you know, you say, well, I got to call and say, what agreement, what contract did we have? Because it wasn't left, you're seeing what's all there. Mm-hmm. You know, and gosh, you look at that, $60,000 worth of, I agree with Dave. I heard about this so much in the spring before the primary and all summer long from people who, from the original three guys who wanted to start and have some kind of a sign, but didn't mean to get the scope that it was developed into. But I think, as a city, this personal opinion, by listening to citizens, they want to see it to where it's something we can maintain. Because what is out there now, you can have him say, okay, I'm going to bring you 30,000 perennial plants and we're going to put them in, or 3,000. We're going to put them in out there. Who's going to take care of that?
Yeah.
I mean, the weeds, if you didn't pay attention to that this summer, wow, as rainy as it was, looked terrible. But Sean has done a lot of work. The mayor's done a lot of work. There just wasn't, it's not to be found. Mm-hmm. I mean, I ask and ask,
and if I
finally got it from Vicki.
And if I can add, this is just one piece of what I try to absorb and register every day that I've been here. There's multiple things that, you know, that I deal with other than just Gateway.
Right.
So was there any files left in the office?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of things from the 90s, early 2000s. Bookcase full. But there were files. And it takes a long time to go through. I didn't have that. What are you pointing at?
No, I'm talking about nothing on the Gateway Project.
I gave much of my four.
No, I'm just saying that.
Yeah, that's what I had. That's what I had.
We were constantly being told, you know, certain things.
It could be there. You know, but. Trying to find something and staying up to date with the everyday immediate concerns of the city is tough. And it may still be there, and I'm still just not there
well,
yet.
Well, in the minutes, I'm just talking about ours. In the minutes, you could see a lot of times that where the questions were being asked and what was being quoted in the minutes past all these, just in the redevelopment. Just in the redevelopment,
yeah.
When questions were asked to the mayor.
Okay. Well, I think Sean said it right. We want to be proud of it, and it is a good structure. We don't want it just revisiting as maintenance problems. So we need to get a hold on it and move forward. And we will. We will.
It's something important.
It's
like the front door of your house.
Absolutely. It is our gateway, and the project had good intentions, and we can still. It's still going to be a good project.
Oh, absolutely.
We're going to have to wrestle it right now and get it there. Okay, let's go on to our next item. Augusta Consulting.
Last time the Redevelopment Commission met, Mr. Bookout and Mr. Jones were here. Good enough? That's for Lisa. And when I took office, even before I took office, I identified several things that I heard on the campaign trail that was, you know, said we need to tackle this, we need to focus on this, we need to do this. And I dwindled them down to 10 items that I felt like I could get accomplished. But as you know, I'm one person.
I have, I don't have the resources of a larger city. And so there are municipal consultants out there, and you met Brad last time. And these are the things that I contracted Mr. Book out with Augusta Consulting to do. You can see that when I first engaged Mr. Book out, I wanted to have a paramedic service in our city. And I was going to contract him to get that done here and for our citizens of Winchester. However, Chief Moore spearheaded this, and it's coming, and we did it without Augusta Consulting's efforts at all. And so we line-itemed that, we amended that, which is on the back page. And, you know, the number that we associated, we replaced with the ambulance was assist and advise the city with the possible negotiation, acquisition, environmental due diligence of the former Ross properties in Winchester. You know, this came about as soon as the first day of office, one of the first phone calls, would you be interested in these properties? I don't know, you know, and so, you know, I amended this contract and engaged Mr. Bookout to help me navigate my way through this. You don't want to just take over a bunch of properties without knowing what's the side effects of that, right? Same thing with Rundell Owensburg. I knew that the gateway was a very important topic to very many people. And, you know, I'm just a former school teacher, you know. Coming right into this new position can be daunting, and where do you start? And consultants like Augusta Consulting have a track record, have a great resume of helping municipalities. So there's many things here, and there's many things that are happening. Every piece of this document has been started, has been addressed. Some are further along than others. Some have been reprioritized due to events in our city. You'll notice that investigate the possibility of using blight elimination hardest hit funds to demolish abandoned homes and vacant houses is on there. We're going to talk about that next week at council. But there are some things on here that really affect the Redevelopment Commission, which is the gateway. Engage Barnes and Thornburg to review all TIFs, which does include, before, you know, as we go on to look at our accounts payable vouchers, you will see a bill in there from Barnes and Thornburg. And that is because I've engaged Barnes and Thornburg, a legal consulting firm, through the efforts of Brad Bookout, which we're not paying for because we've already paid Augusta Consulting to do this.
Okay.
To engage them to look at our TIF districts. Once they looked at our TIF districts, they realized, what's going on with this windmill? Right? And so I can say that coming out of this engagement, we do have somewhat of a dispute with the turbine, with the agency that we contracted as a city in to with these windmills, that we want to be very sensitive and be good stewards of our taxpayers' money. And so, you know, we're in the initial stages of this. That's about as far as I really can tell you. But why I bring Augusta Consulting up tonight is because I'm paying for it. My Board of Works agreed to pay a third of Augusta Consulting's fees. The sewage department did. I'm going to take a third of it out of my edit money, and I'm going to ask the Redevelopment Commission to pay a third of his fees as well. And this is for 8 months.
$3,000 a month, huh? Would be our part.
Well, you would have, we decided that sewage would pay for the first 3 months, and then maybe the Redevelopment Commission would pay for the next 3 months or 2.5 months, however it breaks out. So sewage department would pay his fee for first 2.5 months, then you would do the next 2.5 months, and then I would pay for the last 2.5 months out of edit money.
So how much money is that?
Well, you divide...
About 30,000.
About 30.
30 all...
For the one-third from the redevelopment commission.
But that, again, that is inclusive. It's not just paying him and then have to pay other people redundantly. Okay, so Rundell Ernstberger coming in here tonight, running his report, their report, and presenting to you recommendations professionally. Now, I could go out there and do that, but it's not going to be very good. You know, that's paid for by you guys paying Augusta Consulting, and that check is cut from Augusta Consulting to them. You understand?
Augusta Consulting paying the bill. We're just paying Augusta Consulting.
Correct.
They're paying all the other entities that's going to do the investigation.
Yes. Everything on here, if we pay their fee on the last page, they take part of that payment and forward it on to the next consulting firm to come in and investigate professionally and expertly. You know, they engage the best in their field. And I think, and I'm not throwing anybody under the bus. Today's today, yesterday was then. But I think one of the pitfalls that we did as a city is we engaged in one firm exclusively for everything. And that one firm is really good. Really good, the leaders really in one or two areas, but not in every area. I feel like it's good due diligence to have many eyes on different problems. So I bring this to you because I would ask for a motion to commit the third of the cost of Augusta Consulting from the Redevelopment Commission. And also let you know about what, when you find the, on the docket, the bill for Barnes and Thornburg for the windmill investigation.
What are the Ross properties?
AMCO.
Okay.
So the way that works is if somebody wants to flip a property to the city, you know, before you get really excited and say, wow, you know, look at all this property we have, my initial concern was, okay, what was there? And that was a mold shop and an industrial complex. What kind of environmental issues would we have if we took this, right? If we took these properties and we own them, now there are problems. Right, so what?
Even after we sell them, there are problems.
Huh?
Even after we sell them, there are problems. That's what the county ran into with the Union City area.
Exactly. And so what Augusta Consulting is able to do is call in Sesco and a guy by the name of David Guevara, who specializes in environmental insurance. So basically, this guy comes in and he goes through all the history of insurance that AMCO might have had on their properties over the course of time. So from 1950 or whenever they came in, they had to have this insurance policy, and it's cumulative. And so it's just like any other insurance you would have. If you slip and fell, you would be able to pay that claim on somebody outside on the sidewalk. That too can be used for environmental cleanup. Or at least say, they come in and say, you have all of this environmental hazard, Ross property. How are you going to even sell this? Clean it up before we take it. It's leverage is what it is. And I wouldn't be able to do this on my own. You know.
So, go ahead, Kim.
Well, thinking of all the industries there and all the iron and all the other things that could have gone in the soil, the contamination part of it, and it's what, like what we're running into at York. And we have to have these questions, and it's still there after 9 years now, and still seeing all the attributes of, you know, what's all this contamination,
right?
Because of paint or,
and you don't want to take that, you don't want to take that over as a city without having a plan to go after those who actually did contaminate the soil to go back and clean it up. It's the same, it's, you know, Indiana Steel and Wire over Muncie. You know, same situation. They had contaminants in the soil, and they left a concrete pad over it. Now, what do you do? I mean, what do you do about that? We don't. I mean, really, we don't want just a concrete slab on the north end of our city. You know, it brings the property value down, and frankly, you know, it's the job of this redevelopment commission, in my opinion, to figure out ways to improve that part of town.
Mm-hmm. So, you talk about the insurance, the past insurance. Is Overmeyer still, since they're a defunct company, are they, their insurance from mm-hmm. past times still responsible for that?
Absolutely. Because Ross Properties would have had to have assumed those insurance policies, as I understand it, that they're all cumulative. Okay, so what that means is they all add up. So if they've been here for 65 years, they all could be $1 million policies each. That's $65 million to use to clean up the soil.
Not by Ross, but by
the insurance company that they pay for over time. That's why this guy, that's why David Guevara drives a very fancy car and wears very expensive suits. He's a PhD. I have his book in my office.
And he thinks that can be done.
Oh, absolutely. He's done it before. That's why he drives a fancy car.
He wrote a book on it, in case you'd be interested. Mm-hmm.
I'm driving fancy cars?
No, the...
So I'm still trying to come to grips with the size of what we're dealing with. What's our, like, our annual budget?
How much money do you have?
Yeah.
Is that your question?
The redevelopment commission. How much money is committed?
Right now there's $300,000 in there, and what's committed, the bills are paid for right now, Bill, Joe, but that will start again, I mean, obviously.
So it looks like we
at the end of the day,
about
there's probably around, at the end of the day, the cash projection would be for a cash flow, we have $250,000 to $300,000 a year right now.
Oh, to spend outside,
the bills are all paid.
Outside
yes,
of the bond?
That's correct.
Okay.
Right. All right. But
so
that does not include, I want to caution you, the wind turbine.
Okay.
So, and that could be, and we're getting ready to unball, it's coming in. Am I not, are you okay with me?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, we have a financial, unball is our financial consultants, and they're getting ready to do a work study and a work plan for all of this and to consider these things that are coming up. The wind turbine's never been included and these projections that we previously had before with the redevelopment commission, because it's always been committed, the shortfall of the revenue that we're not getting has been committed through our economic development income tax, our EDIT, which is not going through this board. Well, right now, if you, the EDIT money right now that's being committed for that, it's $147,000 a year, and we receive $197,600 a year with that. So that leaves $50,000 if Mayor Byram wants to, if there's a firm that comes in here and says, our company, and says, you know, what can you do for us? You have money to help us with that. Well, I'm sorry, but it's all committed to our wind turbine. You know, we do not have those funds on hand.
Which this commission does not pay for the
right
shortfall of that wind turbine.
That's right.
Bond.
But it isn't a TIF.
It isn't a TIF, but historically it has been chosen to be paid for out of the EDIT fund, which comes from the county. It's our county draw. And it's 80%. 80% of the EDIT fund is committed. Am I speaking in the correct? 80% of the EDIT money that has been given to the city for economic development goes to pay the shortfall of that windmill.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, engaging Barnes and Thornburg to look into this, to have us and
so what are we
have still, them in our corner.
We're still paying for the windmill?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. It's just beginning. The revenue has been, we've been, right now, just real quick, we've had a year's worth of revenue, and I in from the wind turbine, and it's been about $128,000. Well, the bond payments are $200,000 a year. But we don't only have bond payments, we have a maintenance fee for Gamesa for the wind turbine at $25,000. We have insurance of approximately $20,000 for the wind turbine. We have, so it's eating up. The revenue that's coming in from it is paying just the maintenance bills on it right now, and we still have invoice waiting on that as well, that we have not paid the performance services. So right now, what we're saying is that it's tight on the money, and Humboldt is going to be coming back to this, the redevelopment, and to the city council as well for the plans of what we need to do for our revenue.
That's part of this.
That's right.
That's correct.
That's correct.
So you're paying Humboldt.
Yes.
What I'm asking.
We're going to have a plan.
Your portion of Humboldt services. Humboldt's not just coming in and doing a service for you. No, he's doing service for citywide finances.
Yeah, so five of these 10 projects look like they're directly related to the redevelopment commission.
That's why I'm asking for a third.
So this sounds to me like a deal. You mentioned something about a bill from Humboldt that's coming up. Is that outside of this plan?
A bill from Barnes and Thornburg on the hours spent by the attorney looking into the contract between the city of Winchester and Performance Services.
What's Performance Services?
Performance Services is the company that sold us the windmill.
Okay, so that's a bill that's outside of this agreement.
Correct.
Yes.
Because number two says engage Barnes and Thornburg to review all TIF districts and make recommendations as to consolidations and potential cost savings related to bond issues. So what you're paying for is for them to identify that, yes, it is disputable. Now to act is on top of number two.
Okay.
Understand?
Yep.
It's kind of like Rundell-Orangeburg. We pay them to come in and evaluate and present to us.
Right. If we like the plan,
then
we do more work with them.
That's correct.
Okay. And also with the wind turbine, there's an unpaid bill in there, Vicki, that there was the dispute with our lawyer and them about a difference from 143 to 96.
There's an outstanding invoice, Jim.
Okay. But it's still a dispute.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. It's not. There's an outstanding invoice.
So that
is
can
not
add
made.
To this.
Yes. Well.
But that's what we're engaging in this too.
Right.
Yeah. Yes.
And this is only my first meeting. I missed the first one.
It's my second.
It seems to me if we fight this battle at a time on our own, our costs are going to be a lot more than to have somebody like Humboldt come in and look at all this for us. Am I correct in thinking that?
What are you asking me? I'm sorry.
If you, as the mayor, hire the people and tackle these projects one at a time, it's going to cost us a lot more money than it is to have Humboldt and Associates tackle these projects for us.
Oh, you mean Augusta?
I mean Augusta.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
I know. Yeah. I think so. I mean, this is what I sit in Board of Works meetings debating, and I, you know, sit at home, eat my dinner. Do we, you know, there's things that are needed. There's things that are going to be needed. Do we do what's only needed for now and wait until later? And then, or do we do them all together and save the money on finance charges? It's a wild ride, and it's you have to weigh a lot of things out. But I really think that by hiring this firm, I've got you can see the names on the side.
Right.
How many people are working for the city of Winchester?
Right. And if we were to hire them individually on our own, we'd spend a lot more
probably
money than we.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and we'll still have, you know, with the plans that Humboldt, for instance, the plan that they're, the projections and things, I mean, there'll be other expenses as well, but yes, what you just said. I mean, for instance, to me, it's no difference than if you maybe had an engineering firm that you used for everything, for 12 years, just say for instance, and you paid $2.5 million to it. I mean, for everything, for any consulting that you did, no matter what, I really don't see where this, the Augusta, is still apples to apples to
and,
me.
And they're a local company. They're,
for instance, Conan, you were familiar with Mr. Winkler. Remember when we hired him?
Yes.
Well, to me, it's similar to this. Yes, that's how, that's my perspective on it. And I just thought I would just...
I'd like to make a motion that we pay a third to...
who's this? Augusta.
Augusta. That's my motion.
I'll second that.
Okay, any further discussion? What Redevelopment Commission agreeing to pay for municipal consulting services, or in this case, Augusta Consulting, a third of their estimate, or I shouldn't say their estimate, it'll be $79,808. We're on the, for a third of that and over the next 8 months. Any further discussion? Hearing none, okay, we'll entertain a motion. All in favor of the motion, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same sign. Okay, motion carries. Next on our agenda, we have a facade grant, and we have Mr. Michael Flowers from Indiana Landmarks here. Thank you. Good night.
Hi.
Good to see you again, Michael.
Yep. For those of you that I haven't met yet, my name is Michael Flowers. I started with Indiana Landmarks in late October. I'm replacing Joe Frost, who previously did this, and we staff the Winchester Facade Grant Program. So work with applicants on their applications, look into the buildings if need be, and present the applications to both the committee and the commission. And so currently, to bring some of you up to speed, the current application is by Richard Denny, who owns a Richard Buy, Sell, and Trade. And this application has been kind of in since November, and I've had to work with Richard one-on-one to get both items that were not applicable to the facade grant program and to make sure that the materials were correct. So I did that, and you can see the new application is it's the first phase of the first floor for the building, and the building's addresses would be 129 to 133 North Main Street. So he's planning on doing work on the entire building facade, but this is just the ground level, which is the first phase of the project. Now, you can see that he's done a lot of work. I've also attached the Cannon Bridge construction quote. So that is some of the work that has been done on 129 North, which would be the storefront, which, to my understanding, he did a lot of work putting in new windows, the frame, the way that it, you know, kind of goes in. That design was through the Cannon Briggs Construction Company, and then he's planning on doing other work to the other storefronts, which would be the 131 and the 133 North Main. So based on my understanding of the design guidelines and everything, and after we got him to change the exterior plywood for the panels on 129 North, all of the materials and work complies with the design guidelines as far as the design is concerned. He does have stuff on here such as employees array. He pays some of his own employees for the work, but that isn't something that I've looked into. That would be something I think that the city would have to look into when he presents those, if his application is accepted. I do have photos if anybody does want to see them. I kept them in these individual envelopes to divide up the storefronts. You guys are certainly welcome to take a look at those. And I met with the facade grant committee, which is a committee that meets prior to the commission and votes on a recommendation to present the commission. So while he is doing a lot of work, and from what I understand looking at the photos, the storefront put in, like I said, does not violate the design guidelines. There was a concern with the procedure of the way that this application was presented, and that is that if you look at the program guidelines, which are behind the staff report in the packet, it says on number 5 that you cannot do work until the commission has voted to accept the application. So he did do work before the application was accepted, and the committee took issue with that and voted four voted against. They recommended that the application be denied because he did not follow the program guideline procedures that are attached to the application. Other information regarding that, he did say that he would be interested in doing more work to the building in the future. So you guys will have to decide and vote on it. But if he does decide to apply again, I will try to work with him to make this an easier process so that this application doesn't get tabled as much as it did, and try to make sure that he understands that work can't be done. But that was the issue. It wasn't so much the work or the design that was put in so far. It's that everything should have been approved prior to him starting work on the facade. And
what's the rationale for that rule?
Well, the rationale is that we need to have everybody approve it. There are certain guidelines, design guidelines, and if the money was given to them before, well, after they've done it, then we wouldn't have a chance to amend things. Like, if he were to put on there that he wanted to board up the windows or something, or an applicant was, then the commission and the committee could recommend, as well as the staff, that, no, you need to do this to the window. So the rationale is that they present to us what work they want to do, what type of design they want to do, and then we can say, this is how you need to stick to the guidelines and the program parameters, and then make recommendations on that. And then what they'll do is, once the application's accepted, they do all the work, they pay for it up front, and then if they followed what they said they were going to do, the approved plan, then the city reimburses them with the grant money for half.
But if they do a project that you do completely approve of, even if they do it before we approve it, I would think it would be the same result. So really, if they do the work before the approval, they're really just taking a risk.
And that's really up for you guys to decide as the commission. It is in our program guidelines that they do have to wait, but certainly it is your vote whether to accept it or not, with them not following that number 5 procedure.
So the phase 1 is what was done prior to approval.
Well, that's where it gets a little confusing. Some of it has not been done yet. Okay. Some of it has been done. Okay. And so mostly 129 North, that where he put in that storefront, the glass, the frame, and all of that, that was done prior to approval. Like I said, I have not found anything with that, what's been done so far, that violates the design guidelines. Everything that he's proposed to do after that seems to be falling within the parameters. You know, it would need to be checked out after completed before the final was put in. But so far, the application that I presented to you follows the design guidelines. He's put in, you know, parameters, specs, materials. He's not using the OSB material that's out there now, which is kind of a lower grade plywood. He's planning, if the facade grant is his application is accepted, he's going to put like an exterior treated grade plywood and thick paint, something that's meant to be on the outside of a building.
Has this individual applied for this grant previously and done other work in town?
Yes, the building across the street from there, where he has his store right now, was in 2013. He did an A, B, and a C grant, and those were all accepted and completed. And I don't know, I wasn't here to know what the exact procedure was, if he did work before and he's following what he did before, or if this is new territory.
He did it exactly the way the guidelines said.
Okay.
Exactly what the committee told him to do. He did not do the work before the committee had approved it. He knows the rules.
So basically, and what I told the committee and what they voted, you know, against was, if you need, you need to, I guess the decision is it okay if people do that, or, you know, because if essentially saying yes to this application would be somewhat setting a precedent, in my opinion, or precedence, that that's okay, you know, and if in future, you know, applications, it would be hard to deny them with accepting this one. On the other hand, you know, he has improved the building, so I guess that's kind of where the decision goes.
Yeah, but, yeah. Here's my question. If we're going to spend our money, and this is to make Winchester look better, right?
Mm-hmm.
What about painting the rest of the building?
That would be another phase, I believe. And
because if you look at this, the outside of that building really needs painting.
Yeah, I believe.
You can look at Mike Wickersham's building down here on the corner. He painted the whole outside of it and made that look tremendously better. And if we're going to spend a lot of money, if we're going to spend our money, do we... We want to make it look as good as possible, don't we? I mean,
But I think, if I may, I think that someone only wants to bite off what they can chew initially, and I think what they're saying is, if he can get approval for first phase, second and third phases, as his track record shows, he's likely to do, because he did it across the street, that may come next. May. I mean, it is all a may.
What happened, what I found out through discussion with Richard is that he plans, if the application is accepted, he plans to go forward with the second, third phase with the understanding that he cannot do work before the approval and that he will adhere to the guidelines. And one of the benefits of the facade grant program is that we can ensure quality materials and work. Whereas if he, you know, we don't, if he's not involved in the program, then we have no say over what's done. But he has expressed interest that if he can get the money for this first phase, that he would like to put it into the building, second, third phase, and continue to improve it, is what he told me. Now, that's a verbal, you know, discussion, so nothing legally binding about that. But
Michael, this, we have a limit per building. I know for years, in the $20,000 limit per applicant, but I don't know if we have a limit per building, and maybe I'm, I don't, I probably, I guess what I was getting at is, I'm thinking with as much as they got to do to the front of that building, he may exceed our limit, but I'm not sure we have a limit. We have, I think, an annual limit that we would do.
We have an annual limit of $60,000 from the redevelopment, the commitment.
And I think it's $20,000 per...
I thought it was $20,000 per building.
Per building, yeah.
We need to look at that.
I think that's right.
But now, you remember, you're saying per building, and of course, he's already received the disbursements from the building, but it wasn't, it's a building on the other
side
of the street.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
So 129,
right here, right.
129 North Main could potentially get $20,000, I think, is what.
The max, I think.
And that would be a $40,000 investment because it's be half.
Mm-hmm. And you know, if this is something that can go on longer, you know, so for instance, if you know this year he gets the maximum amount of money, maybe he does it again next year. You know, sometimes building improvements do happen, you know, in chunks like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's definitely a possibility. So.
The committee has a 4-0 vote against phase one due to the services and the improvements being done prior to approval.
Yes, they recommended to try and get in contact with Richard, basically say, well, we will not cover anything that's done. Let's go through the building. This would be something I would handle. What, you know, is on this application that you still, that hasn't been done yet, this would be applicable, and then do a new application. So essentially what they're recommending is to deny this current application and then have him reapply with only things that have not been completed. That is what the committee recommended. So I would reach out to Richard and try to get that done, but there's no guarantee of that either.
And the other phases that he wants done would be at the other addresses. He's not necessarily going to do it anymore at 129.
Well, the way that I've set up the application, and this is mainly because it was starting to get kind of confusing. Mm-hmm. He was sending in a lot of applications. We're having to go back and forth. So it's essentially the same building, 129 through 133. So to streamline the process, I am having him kind of treat the building like one building. He owns the entire thing. It is one building. And so this is, he did split it up by address, but essentially what this is the first phase is that ground level. So he's going to do all the ground level work if this is accepted based on what's in this application. And then the next level might be the second story or part of the second story. You know, it kind of depends, you know, like you said, on funds that we can improve or that you guys can improve. So essentially, the next step though would be looking into the second story and what needs to be done there, and then he would write up an application, I would work with him on it, and then he would resubmit it, or then he would submit the second part.
But right now, phase one on 129 North Main, he already did this.
Essentially, yes. There's a few things he hasn't done yet, but a lot of it has been done.
Yes. And that's where the committee suggestion for us not to go with this 129 North Main.
Yes, that is where their feelings came from. They felt like this procedure for this particular application, not his past ones or anything, was kind of botched. He didn't follow the correct procedure, and that is why they voted against accepting it.
Can I ask how many other individuals have taken advantage of this program?
In the past, it looks like several. You can see here. Currently, we do not. He is the only application right now.
Well, you have.
It's like eight projects have been
seven completed. Different ones, yeah. Right. Seven different people besides Mr. Denny.
And this is the only application that's been submitted since I have taken over the Landmark's position.
And looks like the only one since 2015.
Yeah.
Which is probably
this one, well, see, Richard submitted this from what I gather over the summer of 2015. There was issues with the application, got tabled, went to go fix. There was more issues with the application, tabled, and that might be part of the reason why he started the work. I'm not sure of the entire timeline. Maybe he was frustrated with the process. I'm not sure. But what essentially this has been kind of going back and forth, and then I had him, that's why I had him just put the first ground level on one application for one phase to kind of streamline that, get that out of the way, because he was sending in multiple applications and, there would be something like insulation on them and, that's not covered by the facade grant. So then he'd have to change it. So I went and worked with him to get one that had only acceptable stuff on it. But this application has kind of been going on and for a while, from what I understand. Even it was on the table before I joined Landmarks.
Is there another package of pictures?
One, two, three.
Yeah, so that's each of the storefronts. He divided them up like that. One second.
These are the before pictures. So.
I believe most of them are. And I believe on the one 31 and 133, he has not done most of that work yet. I believe most of the money that he has spent thus far has been on that 129 North Main storefront. But he might have done bits and pieces of the other ones. I'd have to take the sheet that he did and go through on each step and see what has been done and what hasn't been done. And that's something I can do. Especially for a future application if he decides to apply.
From the board.
Okay. But.
Is that, we have to act on the recommendation or the recommendation from the
board? Well, from my understanding, it is a recommendation. So you guys are free to vote whichever way you feel. We do meet, though, and talk about the applications to provide a recommendation on what the committee feels. It's best for the program.
So with that recommendation, and then what you said about you can go back to him and take, break that out, what wasn't, what he'd done before, and what's left to do to that project, because it failed, because it didn't follow the instructions in the first place. So you can redo that. He can reapply, but with the project, the things that he hasn't done yet.
Yes.
Correct?
If he wants to.
If he wants to.
Yes.
But that's on phase one on 129. North Main.
Well, 129 is basically done. So basically what he would do, if he reapplied, he could, I think there's like two minor things. Basically the plywood boards that we suggested, the exterior grade plywood, I think that's the only thing that he hasn't done on 129. So that would be a very small cost. And then the rest of the building, which would be the, you know, the address of 131 and 133. We're essentially looking at this as one building.
Okay.
For the purposes. I think it's simpler that way and easier to go for. He could then suggest things that he hasn't done, and I would definitely want to double check on everything. I don't know, I'm kind of under the impression that sometimes he does work as it comes, you know, as he has funds, and just kind of, you know, kind of does it in, you know, small steps. So I'd have to go through and look and see what hasn't been done, but that was the recommendation, was to try to approach Richard again after letting him know the application was denied, telling him that he needs to take off anything that has been completed, and then reapply with anything that has not been completed.
So this is $4,870. This is stuff that hasn't been completed?
You're talking about the 129?
133.
Well, this is one.
129 is 7,000.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know what has been 100% for a fact, what has been and what hasn't been. I would need to take this list, probably discuss it with Richard, and go take a look myself and cross things off the list if they've been done.
And then he doesn't get the money until you've verified all this stuff?
Yeah, essentially.
And
I would have to go
and
look
into it. Proof of receipts and...
Even his manpower, too, he has to... Looking through his book.
He significantly looked like it really has been done. Yeah. You have to have receipts.
And he's told me he has all that and would submit that, you know, when the time comes. But I haven't seen it myself.
As the evidence.
Yeah. But the money wouldn't be dispersed. So even if the application was accepted, as I understand it, the money would not be dispersed, so he can properly show the documentation. If he couldn't, then he would be told, well, you cannot have the money.
Right. Because that's one of the specifications.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm leaning towards agreeing with the committee, just because there's a lot of questions here.
Yeah.
There's no reason to override that. Mm-hmm. It's my opinion.
I agree with you. Not to the...
And I'm looking at a September 8th billing statement from Briggs Construction, and that was paid on September the 8th. So that means the work was performed prior to September the 8th.
Yeah.
And I know it's been coming back and forth between here, but I don't think it's been... That's several months ago. That's just something I just...
I know it's rough. My dad owns a building, and, you know, when it's easy to get... something done, you get it done right away.
Sure.
So I realize that big projects are hard, but that's what this program's for, right? It's a big facade project.
Yeah.
It's not the paint around a window kind of projects.
Let's just do an up and down vote on whether we want to, concur with the committee's recommendation.
If you need a motion, I'll move that we agree with the committee's opinion.
Okay.
That's the recommendation.
Right. Second. Any further discussion? Okay, let's. We have a motion to concur with the committee's recommendation. All in favor with the committee's recommendation, signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed to that recommendation by the committee? Same sign. Okay. We've agreed then that. We will follow the committee's recommendation on that. And
now you take it back to him.
Yeah.
I will try, yes.
And hash out the...
Yes.
If he still wants to.
Right. I mean, there's no guarantee he's going to reapply, but what I'm going to try to say to him is, listen, there's still a lot of work that needs to be done in this building. You can still get, you know, matching money for that, but we need to go through, we need to figure out what's been done, what hasn't been done, and make a plan for the rest of this building, and then apply again.
If it would have been for, you know, painting the whole front of the building, you know, if he only fixes the first floor and doesn't fix the upstairs, it still looks like an old building. If we can paint the whole front of the building, I would have been more inclined to jump on
that. Yeah, that could be the plan, and he may not have to do it right then and there, but if he's, I don't know what our time period is on our process, but I would assume it's probably several months.
He was planning to do, like I said, he was planning to do work with, I believe, some of the windows and paint it, but like I said, we were trying to focus on just getting this application in and correct, whereas, you know, having all these applications and, you know, all that stuff, it was a process of where he was sending in a lot of applications that had things on there that couldn't be part of the facade grant program, or he wasn't including, you know, like what material it was, therefore, you know, the committee could not accept it or recommend it, you know, that it be accepted because we didn't know what this material was. So that's why this application is like this. I did see one application he sent in that was like three phases for 129, and I believe that he intends to paint. But again, you know, it's his intention. So what we can try to do is we could try to work out an entire three phase for each building, but that's going to be large. So I don't know, is there a procedure to maybe accept part of, you know, like go through and just accept one phase and then kick the set?
Well, I think I would speak to the committee regarding that, and I can't speak for the committee, but I wouldn't know why you wouldn't.
Well, so, but if he just gets half of it painted, yeah, it's not worth a lot, right, to us as the community.
Exactly, yeah.
We want to get the whole thing.
It needs to be commitment that he's going to
it's
do
a big, expensive building. It's going to be a big, expensive project.
I guess what we need is a commitment that he's going to finish the project.
Sure, and I'll try to talk to him, and I'll call him tomorrow, let him know the decision and how we can proceed forward. And I will definitely, you know, push the angle that, yeah, some of this stuff won't be able to get paid for with the grant, but the rest of it, you know, there's still a lot of work that needs to be done, can be, so.
Mm-hmm. But to paint the whole side of the building would really tend to be a better applicant to be passed if he painted the whole thing instead of like what these guys are talking about, half here and then wait to another phase. That he could do that by, you know, even though some of the bricks has to be replaced and stuff as you go up, as you showed in some of those pictures, you know, but that's one of the things that you just can't make it. You have to make sure you paint it all, even if you can include it in that this other new phase.
Yeah, and I mean, if you guys are comfortable with that, because I don't think, based on my conversation with him, that he can just commit all that money right now. He would have to, you know, it
but
has to be
more favorable,
yeah,
if he did do that, for us to say yes, and the committee, if you do the whole thing up and down.
Sure.
You know, you could do the front on Main Street, and then you could do the other on another program, but the front of it itself on Main Street, just an idea.
I'll recommend that to him. I'm not sure where he is on that. I know that originally it was basically the first phase was going to be ground level, then he was going to move up and move up. I understand it would be better to maybe get the painting out of the way or do the exterior before this and that. So I'll see where he's at on that. And I'll try to talk with him, and hopefully he's willing to continue with the program. But, you know, as we pointed out, he did know the procedure.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you.
Yep.
I know it's hard.
Okay. Bills and claims. Any other business come before the committee? Commission, I should say. Okay. Accounts payable vouchers and bills and claims are there. I think we had a chance to look at them ahead of time. Any questions? Vicki's here.
Pretty simple. I mean, I'll be glad to answer anything. They're right there. There's only a claim from, I believe, a previous financial advisor, Lynn and Woody, Hannah Wagle and Klein, HWC submitted a claim as well. And then the other claims are for the finishing up pretty much of the Greenville Avenue Phase 1 and 2.
Lisa asked about Chad's travel on the...
I noticed on there that it did, instead of it all being one much
right. The
figure.
Explanation, I think, I sent that out to you as well. Did you see the explanation that was...
Right, you did that right after that meeting,
mm-hmm.
didn't you? Yes.
Right. And I thought they clarified it well.
So. Oh, okay.
And I think by doing that, by reading that, it just kind of made them a little nervous too.
Well, how that was. Why are you questioning it? We've done it this way forever. Well, yeah. That's not. No.
Yeah, just because it's been there forever doesn't mean.
Yes, that's right.
Okay.
That was a good thing.
I'll entertain a motion for approval of the accounts payable, vouchers, and claims as submitted to the commission.
So moved.
Second.
Yeah.
Dave Kirby second. Okay. Any discussion?
I'll you second.
Hearing none, please all vote in favor by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Same sign. Okay, bills and claims are be paid. We need to pay or sign our in the docket there.
Mm-hmm.
And motion to adjourn.
Make motion.
Second.
So moved.
Does you want to get one of those for Dallas of the claims? I didn't get a copy of it.
He would have got an email copy, right, yeah. Vicki? Dallas would have gotten an email copy of the claims?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I didn't get an email with the explanation, but I assume it was just...
It's inside the docket book, Joe.
Oh, okay. It's part of this month's report.
Right, but I thought that I included you in the explanation when...
The last email I got on it is them saying, what?
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Right here. It says, we pay our staff and bill at 44 cents per mile. However, we do not charge for the first 25 miles each way on a round trip with the mileage charge. The date in the description, such as mileage, was the RH... The date of travel.
Okay.
Is what that is. Do you remember the claim when we looked at it?
Okay.
All right. Okay. How you doing, Bill?
All right, Vicki. How are you?
Good.
Thank you for letting me sit in.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming. I like to hear you explain this.
Come on, sign for Lisa.
Oh, is there something signed in
there? In there?
I didn't see the yellow pen.
There should be, Lisa. Yeah. There's a place for...
You signed this one, didn't you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Your signatures, I think they were marked. I don't think you signed the previous meeting, if I remember right, so...